Hello, everyone, and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we are talking with two guests, Lee Roberts of Century 21 and Sherry Green of Southeastern Mortgage Corporation. Lee Roberts is a residential real estate broker with Century 21 Triangle Group and an accredited staging professional and an award-winning Veterans Administration Buyers Specialist. She moved to Raleigh in 2001, and she has been previously featured on My Carolina Today as a successful broker at Home Stager and answers questions on why staging is important and to give advice on staging your home. More recently, she has guested on RTP Business Live to discuss the veterans home buying experience. Lee lives in North Raleigh area with her husband of 31 years, and in addition to being a real estate broker, Lee and her husband own a residential painting business, and she has participated in community theater, is an avid host and entertainer. They have a daughter, daughter-in-law, two sons, and two grandsons. She is licensed in North Carolina and Georgia. And Sherry Green is our second guest, and she is a native of North Carolina and has been married for 33 years. She's been in the mortgage business for 37 years, and during this time, she has been a top producer for Southeastern Mortgage Corporation and has earned many awards. Her business has been built on referrals from current and past clients, and both Sherry and Lee are passionate about our topic today, which is helping veterans become homeowners. So ladies, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
It's exciting to have you on here to talk about something that I think is really important to the state and around the country too. So we have so many veterans, and yet we have issues where they don't own their own home. Some are even homeless. Some are bouncing from apartment to apartment. And yet there's a VA home lending program out there. So what veterans can take advantage of the program and how do they do it? Just fill us all in, ladies.
Well, actually, the VA loan is obviously for veterans or for spouses of veterans if the veteran is deceased. If they are regular military, they have to serve almost 4 years to be eligible for a 100% loan. If they are a National Guard or reservist, they have to serve for 6 years, unless it's during wartime, and then that automatically makes them eligible immediately. It is a 100% loan. They can actually get in for no money whatsoever or get their earnest money and their due diligence back at the closing table.
So what is earnest money and what is due diligence money?
I'm going to let Ms. Lee take that.
Well, when we go to buy a house, of course, there are other fees involved, and that's closing costs. We'll probably talk about that in a few minutes. But when we make an offer on a house, and I'll just give you a hypothetical. We find this beautiful little house for one of our soldiers, and it's $100,000, and we're going to make an offer. He qualifies for a VA loan, so that's 100% financing. Well, when you make an offer, you have to put a little bit of money down, your good faith money, I call it.
Okay.
And that is normally
called
earnest
money. So that means I'm really interested, and this is my money to prove it.
Exactly. I'm serious about buying your house, and in good faith, I'm going to put this money on the table. It goes towards the purchase price of the home. And in the state of North Carolina, we have both earnest money and what's called due diligence money. So normally, perhaps, if you were going to put down $1,000 earnest money in a lot of states,
okay,
we would probably request that you put down $800 earnest money and $200 in due diligence money.
And the due diligence goes for like checking the property titles and those kind of things?
Or? Actually, no, it's still good faith money, and okay, this is how it works. In the past, if you had earnest money on the table, you did your due diligence, you did your inspections, and then perhaps you asked for some repairs to be done. And if the seller agreed to do the repairs, everything's great. But what if you asked for something unreasonable as a buyer? Paint all the doors purple. And
okay,
the seller says no. Well, in the past, you could walk away from the deal up until the day of closing, and you got your earnest money back.
Okay.
Well, that's not fair and equitable to the seller who took their home off the market in good faith.
Right.
So to be fair and equitable, the state of North Carolina, the Bar Association, coupled with the Real Estate Commission, decided we would divide that. So you have a due diligence fee that you pay for a number of days that you negotiate, perhaps 21,
okay,
so that you have time. That check is written directly to the homeowners.
Okay.
So during that due diligence period, if you decide to walk away from the deal for any reason, or no reason at all, Your $800 in earnest money
comes back,
is refunded to you, but the sellers get to keep the $200. I call it the thank you for your time money.
Right.
Go
okay.
out to dinner on us. Right. We meant to buy your home. Thank you. You still get credit for the entire $1,000 if you go to the closing table, but if you decide to walk away from the deal, the due diligence money is forfeited.
Okay.
So that's what it is. Goes towards the purchase price of the home. It's our good faith money that we put on the table.
So we'll walk through today just this $100,000 adorable house example.
Okay.
And so we're out there. We have $100,000 qualified. Do you have to pre-qualify for the VA loans? And what does that process look like?
You do. I mean, it's just like any regular loan. You check the credit. We verify income, make sure that they meet VA's requirements. And then we run it through an automated system to make sure that it is going to accept the ratios and everything that VA is looking for to insure the loan. That's another big advantage of doing a VA loan is here you have 100% loan and you have no PMI or mortgage insurance like you do other types of loans. All you have is a funding fee unless you're a disabled veteran. If you're disabled, that is waived. But in addition to being 100%, whatever your funding fee is can be added to the 100% loan to value. So you don't have to pay it at closing. It's financed.
Okay. So
and that goes to VA.
So the funding fee is like an application fee.
Well, no. The funding fee is VA's assurance. It's their premium
okay.
for guaranteeing that loan to the lender in case of default. So it's just like what private mortgage insurance
is. So we say
is.
We have this $100,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be how much of a funding fee?
Well, let's say that they're a regular military, first-time user.
Okay.
It's 2.15%. So now they can borrow $102,150.
Okay.
So, and that goes to VA at the closing, and you do not have a monthly premium for the mortgage insurance. So in addition to having 100% loan with no down payment, you do not have the PMI premium, which can be pretty hefty. And you can get some of that earnest money and due diligence back if the seller's paying some closing costs and or the lender is giving you a credit towards your closing costs. The closing costs are also cheaper on a VA loan than any other type of loan. So it's a win-win from start to finish. Lower rate, less closing costs, 102% or 103% loan to value because you get to finance the funding fee.
So you said there was an exception for if you were a disabled vet. Those are waived?
Right. Your funding fee is waived, so there's no fee to VA whatsoever.
So it's just the $100,000.
Exactly. Right. That would be your total loan amount.
And so once you're a disabled vet, do they still have the requirement that they had to have been in 4 years or whatever, or do they have special circumstances?
Well, no. If they were honorable discharged because they were disabled
right.
they automatically are approved.
So they get a few extra
exactly which
preferences, which is natural.
Well deserved.
Yes.
Yes.
For the sacrifices they've made. So we're looking for these houses, and we can be a first-time home buyer, but you said something just a moment ago, like you
VA,
could do this again.
Again. VA can be used over and over again as long as the home that they had the VA, they used their eligibility for, has been sold. They no
okay.
longer own it. And they did not let somebody assume that VA loan that was not a veteran. You can use it over and over again, but the funding fee increases. If you're a reuser, it goes to 3.3%. Again, can be financed in.
Right.
So now you can finance 103.3%.
So there's a higher price to it, but it's still financeable.
Exactly. Still
so it's,
100%
yeah.
loan again.
Right.
But you can put down a down payment. I just did one, which was one of Lee's customers. He's opted to put down a hefty down payment, and the advantage of still going VA is the rate is about 0.5% lower than a conventional rate. So it was still much more advantageous for him to go with a VA loan than to go with a conventional loan.
So I'm a veteran. I'm sitting at home. I'm listening to the show, and I'm thinking, okay, what's the first thing I have to do? How do I identify where to go to do a VA loan?
Well, they can definitely call us, or they can definitely go to our upcoming new website, which I'm going to let Lee tell you about.
Right. We've partnered together because a lot of there's over 97,000 military families in the Triangle area, and sadly less than 10% of them will ever use their benefit because they don't know how.
Right.
And they go online and they Google, how do I do it?
Right.
And they get this big box lending right. institution that's probably 1,000 miles away with no face and just right. an email address. And we think they deserve better than that. We sleep good at night because of them right here in North Carolina.
And the name of the website is?
VeteransHomeSpecialist.com. And we're a few days up. We'll be up and running in just a few days, but it's VeteransHomeSpecialist.com. And
you're going to walk them through the process between absolutely. The Southeastern Mortgage Corp and Century 21 Triangle are putting this together to make sure that they have a face, they have someone to call, someone to walk them through the process.
Absolutely. Somebody to go sit down and have a cup of coffee with and explain the whole process from getting your eligibility. Some of them don't even know how to get their eligibility certificate from the VA because they've never asked. So we can help them from that all the way to getting pre-qualified, which is so very important because a lot of times they don't think they can afford a house.
Right.
Or they don't think that they will meet the criteria that's required to buy a house. And Sherry is so good at just putting them at ease, making them feel comfortable about that. And let's say, what if they're not ready? What if their credit score is just not quite where it needs to be? This lady will take them by the hand and say, you need to do this, 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 and this. And then you need to come back in 6 months, and we'll run your credit then, and we'll get the ball rolling. We don't just look at them, and if they're not a quick sale, throw them away or throw them to the right. side like somebody 1,000 miles away would, because they're just going to look at the next email. They're people to us, and right. Sherry is phenomenal at that.
Many, many years ago, before I even got in the mortgage business, I started working at the credit bureau. So I'm a good coach of helping a veteran or any home buyer. If they're not ready now, let's coach you to tell you what you need to do to get ready. But VA, again, has a lower credit score requirement than allotted loans. Again, they don't want someone that is not paying their financial obligations, but you have to have a 620 credit score.
Okay.
And if they're not there, I can coach them of what they need to do to get there.
So how does it work? I'm. Can I rent to own? Is there something, some other options that are there in the transition?
I actually want to show you, do a little comparison okay. of renting versus owning.
Okay.
Today, the average rent price for a townhome is $895. Okay. $895 with no tax benefits,
right.
no future equity, no ownership, not owning the American, having the American dream. Well, an $895 rent payment is equivalent to a VA loan for a $160,000 home with no
wow.
down payment
right.
and can own, have that American dream. The average home is a three-bedroom, two-bath. The rents for that right now is going for $1,150. That would get you a $210,000 VA loan without a down payment. So as you can see, there's a lot of veterans out there that are renting and throwing their money away renting that we could have them in a home. And it takes about 30 to 45 days once they find the perfect place.
You know, that brings to mind a great example of that. I had a wonderful gentleman, his name is Mr. Smith, and he was retirement age. He served in the Army for 36 years and then walked a mail route in the Bronx of New York until he was old enough to retire. He moved to the Durham area with his bride of 40-some-odd years because she had been diagnosed with cancer, and he wanted her near the very best hospitals.
Right.
So we went out, and we found the perfect house. She picked out the side and the granite, the floors, the carpet, everything. They were so very, very excited. And bless her heart, she passed away 2 weeks before we closed on the house.
Mm.
So it was a very emotional closing, probably one of the most emotional I've ever been to. And when I handed him the keys to his house, he said, I've never owned a house before. This is a 68-year-old man. And I said, you've never owned a house before? He said, I didn't know how
right.
until I met you. So he had paid rent his entire life. And he said, my house payment is less than the rent I was paying when I moved here.
Well, and it's an interesting point because we pay rent. And I know I moved around a lot of years, so it made sense to not buy a house in all the 12 states I lived in. And I would be there 8 months and here and gone and stuff. So, but, you know, it varied state to state. I remember living in Michigan, and I could take my rent off on my taxes. It was like getting a mortgage tax credit. But that was the only state that ever did that. But if I had been living in those states, it would have made sense to buy a house if I was going to stay long term. But we get into that habit of thinking, well, I don't have the 20% down payment to get out of the PMI, or I only make $40,000 a year. I can't afford a $100,000 house, or my credit score is too low, whatever those things are. And so people don't step back and say, okay, what are these steps I need to take, and what benefits are there for my service? In the case of the veterans, they have a benefit there that I thank God that they still have, because they do so much and they sacrifice so much. But you're saying even the widows of veterans.
Exactly.
That could be there paying rent and struggling with, you know, single parent mom.
I have a customer that came in last week that we actually closed on a home for her and her veteran husband 2 years ago, and he passed a year ago. Well, unfortunately, she was not on the loan. She was just on the deed.
Right.
But she still has his eligibility. So we're refinancing her now to get her a lower rate to make it more affordable for her to be able to stay in this property, because it's a great location for her. They'd already downsized.
Right.
But again, she's not getting all the income that he was receiving, so she needed to lower her payment. So we're able to do that where she qualifies beautifully.
Right.
We're using his eligibility, and we just need an appraisal, which we normally wouldn't need on an interest rate reduction.
And I want to be fair, widowers can also, as a veteran, a spouse of a veteran, qualify.
Exactly.
Right. So either spouse. We need to make that point. Exactly. We always say widows,
yes.
But widowers.
Either
spouse.
And it is such a big misconception. They're just not well informed, and that's what Lee and I want to do. We want to hold their hand from start to finish. I think that's probably the number one reason I've been able to stay in this business for this long, is because my customers are my biggest referral source.
Well, I know it's intimidating for anyone the first time they're going to go buy a home. It's just like, okay, they're going to look at this, and I need to put this down, and how do I do it, and then where do I want to look? And how much can I afford? And what's the process of filling out those tons of pages of applications? And then it's all those kind of things. And so it can be overwhelming, let alone, you know.
It is very intimidating, but we try to make it as simple as possible. I talk to them on the phone and actually fill out all those forms for them. We actually will get their certificate of eligibility for them. I just need their DD-214, their discharge papers, or their information, and we can upload that straight to VA. So basically, yes, it's intimidating. There's a lot of forms, but I even highlight so they know where to sign. So we make it as simple and easy as possible.
So if someone wanted to start today, what would be their first step in saying, okay, I'm renting, I realize I'm going to stay in this area, I really want to put down roots. I want to stop pouring my money into rent. I want to own a house. What's the first thing they need to do?
I would say, as a realtor, because a lot of times they call Sherry first, or the lender
right.
first, and sometimes they call me first. My first question is always, have you talked to a lender yet? Let's get you pre-qualified. The worst mistake you can ever make is to start showing somebody a house before they've been pre-qualified. And when I say pre-qualified, I mean, don't just tell them how much you make and
fill out the papers.
Yeah, let's do a little bit. Let's get
right.
your credit check. Let's make sure we're being realistic about what you can afford.
Right, you don't want to show them $1 million house when they have a $100,000 budget.
Right,
exactly.
Because I don't want to show them a $160,000 house if their budget's $100,000. Because the minute you unlock a door to a $160,000 house
yeah.
and all they can afford is a $100,000 house, they'll never be satisfied.
Right.
It's like
just
taking
so
candy from the baby.
So
exactly.
And that brings another question, and that is there a upper limit on how expensive the house can be?
Okay, you can actually do a VA loan up to $417,000 without a down payment. Based
okay.
on if you qualify for that much. You can go much higher than that. It just requires a down payment, and it's a pretty intense formula, but it's less than what a normal loan would be.
Okay.
It's still much less. Like, you could probably, just off the cuff, a $650,000 house, you're probably going to have about an 8% down payment, whereas on conventional
yeah,
or jumbo
yeah.
loan, you're definitely going to have at least 10% or 20% down.
Yeah. If you want to avoid the PMIs and stuff, it's the 20.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So they call you, and they're saying, okay, I was in the service. I need that referral, and we know they're gonna call right. Sherry, and Sherry's gonna start walking them through this process of explaining step by step. You're gonna have the website, which again is veteranshomespecialist.com. Homespecialist.com. And that should be up by the weekend.
Hopefully,
fingers crossed, and you can keep checking back. But you're gonna go in there and handhold this process. But what do they need to bring with them if they want to meet with you in person? Is there any paperwork they need to bring?
Well, their DD-214 if they don't have their certificate already, and their income docs. Then obviously from there I can pull their credit report.
So is that their income documentation? So their W-2, or you want their tax W-2, returns?
It just depends if they're self-employed. It opens up a whole can of worms. If they're just a regular salaried or hourly or employee, it's a W-2s and pay stubs for the last 2 years. If they get commission or self-employed, then we have to see tax returns for 2 years. A lot of times my first initial conversation with a customer is going to be on the phone, and I ask a million questions so we know exactly where we need to go, and they don't bring too much.
So give us some of those questions you would ask.
Okay. First of all, the very first conversation is, do you have your certificate of eligibility? And they say, no, but I can get it. And I go, well, you can either get it or we can get it for you. I just need your DD-214. Now, if they do not have their DD-214, then we have a little time lapse because that's not as easy to obtain. You have to actually, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks because they have to verify everything you did while you were in the service, not just the dates.
Okay.
But once you have that DD-214, it's easy to get the certificate.
So if I was in the service still today, knowing I'm getting out in the next, say, 6 months, I should know and put it on my list to do that when I'm exiting the service, I get a DD-214 to take
with
me.
That's exactly right. But you can still get a VA loan if you're still in the military.
Okay.
You know, there's still active military veterans. Yesterday I did, or I guess it was 2 days ago, I did one. He's been in service for 13 years.
It's not just a veteran. It's active military and
veterans.
Yes, it
can be active or they can be retired from the military. So then we start questioning, where do you work? How long? How long have you been in this line of work? And then we start looking at the debts. So once I know what the income is, I tell them how much they qualify for. And then I also ask the question, what's your comfort level? Because they may qualify for twice as much as they really feel comfortable
for. I remember that when I bought my house. They kept saying, but you're going to have this house. Yes. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that.
You know what? I'm the same way.
Or a lot of times it could be in reverse. They say, I tell them they qualify for this much, and they go, but no, I want this much. So it's again where that's where I have to put on my mother hen hat and say, but this is the requirements. And remember, there's other expenses that you have with owning a home. We do not require them to go to home canceling, but it's advisable if they've never owned a home before, just because of all the other things that you have for maintenance and preparation that you can't call the landlord if something breaks.
Homeowners association fees. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what? And that's such a good point. You can't call somebody else. One of the things that they have to understand is the joys and the sorrows of home ownership.
Yes. Every time there's a major repair on your house, you think, why do I own a home?
I had a client that called me. They had been in their home for a little over a week, and they called and said, you need to call the seller. My sink's leaking.
Yeah.
I said, well, it's your sink. You bought it. It belongs to you. It's your leak. You need to fix it. Well, they didn't like that. And then about 2 weeks later, they called and said, you need to call that seller. We have mice. I said, they're your mice. Feed them.
Name them.
Yeah. Do something. No, they belong to the seller. No, the seller had cats. Don't you remember? You hated the cats.
Well, and it's realizing that because it is. I mean, there are people who are never meant to own a home, and we should point that. It's like some people are never meant to own a business, and that's kind of the checklist I run through with the veterans and saying, okay, you think you want to own a business, but do you have the personality and the tenacity to do this? And you walk through those things. So it is the reality check of the plumbing's yours, the sewage system is yours, the basement's yours when it leaks.
The mice
are yours. The squirrels in the attic, the bats in the attic, all those things are yours, and you have to be having enough income on a month-to-month basis to save up to deal with the major things and the minor things. And the things that should be minor, but because of different regulations that you can't move the bats that got in your attic because mm-hmm. it's August and it's breeding season and they have to stay there till they're done, that type things in the house. But it's those kind of things you have to think about.
Well, and the education. That's where we try to inform them of those things so it's not a shock if they happen 6 months down the road. Everything in life has a pro and a con, but homeownership by right. far has a lot more pros than cons.
Well, and homeowner's insurance, mm-hmm. something that they have to think about too, right?
But that's part of the payment. So when I qualify them, when I was telling you about mm-hmm. that $8.95 and $11.50, that's including your taxes and insurance. So for VA loans, you do escrow for taxes and insurance. That's part of the total payment. So all that's included. It's like you have a built-in savings account. So when you do get that tax bill and that insurance bill, you go, hey, I've already paid it. You've paid it on a monthly basis. I call that the installment plan.
Right.
Okay. And she's, again, I think it's maybe the mother hen in her and the mother in me that we reel them in. I mean, they, a lot of times their eyes are too big for their budget. And I'm not one of those realtors that goes out and if they say, well, we're pre-qualified for $160,000. I go show them $175,000 houses.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'm going to keep them reeled in. I'm going to set their search criteria up not much past $160,000. Today's market in the Raleigh area, most of our homes are going for about 98% of list price, if not more. We're having multiple offer situations right and left. A lot of homes are bringing full price, if not more than full price.
Yeah, because at multiple offers, you can get in a bidding war, and then it goes over the list price.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I had one about 2 weeks ago. I made 11 offers in 10 days. Four of those were multiple offer situations, and I didn't get any of them. One of them, we actually offered, I ran all the comps to justify it. We offered $10,000 over list price, and we didn't get it.
Right.
That's the way the market is moving in the Raleigh area right now. And you've got to be cognizant of that when you're
making realistic. Know what you're wanting, mm-hmm. know what you're not wanting, right? But that the absolute deal breakers. So if you have to have granite countertops and it's laminate.
Absolutely.
Right, those kind of things.
That's what comes next. After Sherry does her magic and gets them all qualified, then it's time for me to sit down and us to talk. And we need to make your wish list. This is what you got to have. This is what you would really like to have if you could afford it. Let's look at all of it. And then you'd be surprised after you sit down and you put all that criteria together and you set them up with a search through Client Connect and you let them start looking at homes. There won't list changes, especially
right.
after you open a couple of doors. They realize, you know what, I could live without an attached garage
right.
if that house had a screened-in porch. Or
right, because there's trade-offs. You're not going right. to get 100. I mean, I remember my must-have when I was looking at houses, and this has been almost 20 years ago, was that they must have everything installed and it must be level. I walked in one day and I was like turning my head like, I think something's off in this house. And the realtor's like, oh, it's newly built. And I had a pencil in my hand and I laid it down and it rolled across the counter. And I said, nothing is level. She goes, well, I'm sure they can fix that. And I'm like, we're not even trying that. A new house or existing houses, you have to think about
right.
the quality of it, mm-hmm. the location, is the driveway going down to your house and does it have a drain or is it uphill? That was a good one.
One of the big no-nos of real estate. There's three big no's. You don't buy a house on a busy road. You don't buy a house near transmission power lines. And you don't buy a house with a steep driveway, either up or down, unless that's the house of their dreams.
Right.
And then you let them buy it as long as they know they're going to probably live in it a long time because it's going to be hard to sell.
Well, and I would say that picking the realtor and your mortgage lender is the most critical thing to going through that process, because I would never use the realtor I used again. I mean, it was just like, but I would point something out and I was like, why is there water in the, in the garage floor? Well, it can set for 72 hours and it's not an issue. I'm like, not in my house. It's going to set for, she's, well, then you can have them. And I'm like, no, I mean, that they have to understand and have the same values and concern with what I'm concerned with, which I know you guys do, which is why you're on the show.
Right. You've got to listen. There's certain things that are very, very important to one client that the other client could care less about. There's one that's going to want every inspection known to man.
My hands up, people. My hands up.
And then you have one that's like, I said, okay, they're going to do a VA appraisal slash inspection. And a lot of times, and that's something we might ought to point out, a lot of times they are under the impression that the VA does a home inspection for them. The VA does inspect the property, but what they're inspecting the property for are items that affect the value right. of the home, not a home inspection like a home inspector does, where they check every outlet and they check all the water faucets. Well,
I'm assuming you have home inspectors that you work with all
absolutely.
The time, because again, I would not use the one we used to find out things weren't connected and things after we got in the house. And it was like, mm-hmm. okay, take deep breaths. And it's like, how did they get away with that, the previous owners?
Absolutely.
And so it's like, you have to have the people that you can trust and you get recommendations and those kind of things. But really to know that realtor and that mortgage lender is going to listen to you and what you're nervous about and not make fun of you or say, oh, don't worry about that, and it really was something you should worry about. You need people that want to help you get the right house, not just make a sale.
Exactly. You want to you don't want to dishearten them about anything, and you don't want to make light of anything that's important to them, because again, it's their house. It's supposed to be fun.
And it may be the only one they've ever owned or ever will own.
Exactly. You want it to be fun and exciting. And we, as the lender and as the realtor, hopefully buffer a lot of the anxiety for them. But we still have to be realistic. If we get a bad home inspection back, I don't want an alarmist home inspector telling them that, because
right.
it may or may not be a deal breaker. But if it is, you know, we have to address that.
Right.
And we have to represent their very best interest, whether it means the deal goes through or not, because there's another house out there.
Right.
We just have to go find it.
Sometimes no is not a bad thing.
Right.
Exactly.
It's saving you from pain later. So you mentioned earlier that their name wasn't on the loan, and she's refinancing it and using the eligibility. So that raises a question. Can there be co-borrowers?
Okay.
Can you be unmarried and get the loan?
You cannot. You do have to be married to both be on the loan. But in the state of North Carolina, if you are married, it only takes one to buy but two to sell.
Okay.
So one person, the veteran, can be on the loan, and the spouse does not have to be on the loan.
But
they would be on the deed. They
okay.
still have interest in that property. But you cannot have a co-borrower or a fiancé. I've had couples that had to go get married before we closed, and then I feel a little guilty. Did we push that, you know, up? But it all worked out. You can't have a co-borrower like you can a lot of the other loans.
And the gentleman that I was speaking of a moment ago, whose wife passed away just before we closed, he actually flew his daughter, his adult daughter, down from New York to be at the closing with him, and we had her name put on the deed at his request. So
right.
she wasn't on the loan, but even his daughter
well,
could
and,
be on
and
the
that's
deed.
Essentially that's estate planning. That's good. If you don't have a mm-hmm. spouse, then that helps with that transfer of assets at death, because they're already an owner.
Exactly.
And it's a nice little tax avoidance thing.
Absolutely.
So what else can we think about? We've talked a little bit about the disabled veterans having some additional preferences. What other things can we focus in to help them understand how this process works and what they need to be thinking of?
Well, again, a disabled vet, their income sources are still usable income, and they're non-taxable. So we get to gross that income up. So let's say we have a disabled vet that's getting Social Security and VA disability.
Okay.
A lot of times that's grossed up by 25%, so that income is a lot greater than probably what they were making when they were actually working. So a disabled vet can still qualify for a loan, of course, based on what the income is and what their debt load is. So,
is there a restriction on where you can buy property, or is any place?
No.
Anything?
No restrictions whatsoever. It's not like a USDA loan that the properties have to be eligible as well as the income. There are no income limits or property restrictions.
So I know, like, when we had small business loans out of the FEMA disasters and things, they couldn't build in certain areas, again, that would be prone to flood, those kind of things. So there's nothing.
Another big advantage of VA loans, they can buy anywhere. We do have to be a little careful about a lot of acreage.
Okay.
Again, VA does not, we're not in the farm business. We're not doing farm loans. Mobile homes, you can still get VA loans on mobile homes, but a lot of lenders have stopped doing them. So it's still some of the banks.
So condos, are still doing those. Townhouses.
As long as they're VA approved. Lee and I just closed a little VA condo, but it has to be VA approved.
What does that mean, VA approved?
That means that they've looked at how many of the units are owner occupied and how many are non-owner occupied, that investors. That the on condos, we don't like to see the investor concentration more than a certain percentage.
Right.
So once it's VA approved, it's always VA approved. So regardless,
so even
if
it switched
changes,
around and became 90%,
exactly, that would
investor.
Be acceptable for VA
because once it was already approved.
Exactly, but once you have that VA number, it's you can still close a loan in there.
The one that we actually just closed, Lee, was in a complex that had several different phases, mm-hmm. and several different buildings. And interestingly enough, not all the buildings are approved.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, the one that we put the contract on was, but there were several other buildings in there that once...
So like phase one might have had the right concentration of ownership, and then
exactly.
phase two came along and the next one,
they'll
that was more investors.
Phases.
And, right, okay. and exactly. see, phase two, if they waited, and you know, if they maybe if they'd gone in early for a sale and it was approved, it would have always been approved. But what if they waited until they had 98% saturation and... A big portion of that was investors who bought those to rent to NC State students.
Right.
Off, you know, off one of the streets down there close
to campus. And that sort of raises things. So could somebody buy a duplex or a triplex, live in one unit and rent the others,
exactly.
and it would be still VA?
They still can. That's still owner-occupied.
Can they buy houses that needs to be, you know, renovated? And those kind of things,
well,
substantially. Not flipped, but just renovated.
No, I mean, again, they can, but it's got to be VA, you know, eligible.
Okay.
VA is pretty strict on the property standards, mainly based on safety standards.
Okay.
And structural. Cosmetics are pretty much, they can knock off some on the value for cosmetics, but as long as it's structurally sound, then you can get a VA loan.
Right, and that goes back to the VA inspection that they do. It's not a home inspection, but they do inspect the home for the value. And things that would affect the value of the home are structural.
Right.
You're pretty much at the mercy of the appraiser that goes out there. They're VA approved, and they go out, and of course they do their very best job. They have the same comps that we have, and they have to look at the home and inspect it. And I have homes that... You go in and you just know you're wasting your time,
right.
if you try to put this house under contract, because it's not going to meet VA requirements. You just know it when you see it. It's just got way too much work to do. And that, of course, sometimes comes into play if they're wanting to buy a foreclosure. You have
right.
to
short sales.
You have
things.
To train them. You have to educate them. We can definitely look at some foreclosures, but we can't look at a dump.
Right.
Because
where somebody
VA's,
trashed it because right. they were ticked. And,
exactly. Right. Because... foreclosures are as-is sales. So you're not going to be able to negotiate during a due diligence period for repairs.
So a short is a short sell eligible?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If it meets the criteria.
Okay. So are there like 10 things we can cover that are the key tips for making a successful process through, or three tips or whatever, that just as they come to mind?
You go first because,
okay. again,
you should go first.
I think the pre-qualification comes first.
Okay.
Again, we don't want to take the candy from the baby or the child. We want to make sure they have their eligibility,
mm-hmm.
and we want to make sure they're credit worthy, and we want to make sure that we're getting them in the right price range. Then we turn them over to Miss Lee to find the perfect property.
Right. Then we make our wish list.
Okay.
And part of the wish list is, what area would you like to live in? What's important to you? Are the school assignment important to you? Tax values, the commute to work, all of those things.
What's in walking distance, trails,
like
green
walk,
space, those kind
exactly.
of things.
Exactly.
Right.
Do you want a single family home, or do you want a town home, or do you want a condo? Do you want a fenced in backyard? What do you want? What do you see in the house? You know, make your criteria. Then we, of course, set up searches. I always encourage my clients to look at it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it looks good on paper, get in your car and go drive by it. You can discount a whole lot of houses just by driving by them, or you can say, I can see myself living in that house.
From the outside.
Exactly.
Right.
You either discount it or you get even more excited about it. And that's a very important step. So once they've done that and they call me and they say, I drove by all 12 of these and there are six that I just absolutely love. Well, that's when we make appointments and we go start unlocking doors. Once we unlock the door, we take them in, we let them see the house, they decide, yes, this is it. This is the one I want. Then at that time, we're going to discuss how the offer making, we'll talk about it during the process, but then we get very specific about the offer making process. This is what we recommend. We run the comps on the house, see what we think it's worth. I make a professional recommendation as to how I think we should make the offer. I always also try to include a negotiation for the seller to pay part of their closing costs.
And what do you mean by that?
Okay. There's more to the cost of buying a home than just the purchase price of the home. The purchase price of the home is the $100,000 we've been talking about. The closing costs are your loan origination fee, setting up your escrow account, your first year's home owner's insurance policy, your termite inspection, maybe
land
home
survey,
inspection,
the appraisal, the title, the attorney fees.
Right, your proration of your taxes for that year. All of that.
Homeowners fees, proration, homeowners association.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that adds up to be a pretty significant amount of money. In some cases, upwards of 3 to 4% of the purchase price of the home is additional charges. Well, now, if they don't have a VA funding fee, perhaps a little bit of that can be rolled into their loan. We never assume that it can,
right,
because you never know.
You assume those are out of pocket.
Exactly. You have to assume those are out of pocket costs. Well, that scares everybody,
yes,
to death. So what we try to do is run the numbers, see what we feel is a fair and marketable price to offer for the home. But then in part of the offer, we can say, we're offering you $100,000 for your home. We would like you to contribute $3,500 towards my buyer's closing costs. Of course, the seller's just going to look at the bottom line and say, you just offered me $96,500 for my,
right,
house. But
it works different because you can finance the $100,000 versus the $96,500.
Exactly.
Offer, right?
Exactly. So if we get the house, and of course the house has to appraise for that, and the house has to be worth that, or we would never offer that for it. But if we can get the home for them, and get the seller to pay the closing cost on their behalf at the closing table, then, again, it's like Sherry said, a lot of times we can get them in a home with zero money down, and they, in fact, get the keys to their house, and they get that $1,000 back. They get that earnest money and due diligence money back.
Well, and what if, okay, they go through the home inspection and everything, but in between the time when the seller walks out and they walk in, carpet's damaged, or something else is damaged in that move-out process? Can you address those types of things?
Well, actually, the contract says that the home must be in the as-is condition at the time of closing as it was when it was put under contract. If you get struck by lightning between now and when we close, you don't have to buy it unless they,
right,
fix where it got struck by lightning and you're okay with it. So if there is an issue, and I have had, I went to do my final walkthrough, walked into a townhome, it was ankle-deep in water.
Oh, wow.
Because the city had turned the water on and there was a leak behind the wall. And we had to call time out. But the seller restored the home to the as-is condition it was in when we put it under contract. And they were gracious enough, they even let my clients pick out the new carpet.
Right.
And we made it to the closing table on time. So it has to be in that condition when you
close.
Well,
and it's little things like making sure the person's out when you're going to do the final walkthrough. All of their stuff needs to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
If they're supposed to clean the carpets, all of those types of things. And making sure, I mean, my realtor didn't make sure all that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were under the gun. My mom had lost her home in a flood and stuff, and we were buying a house. And so it was just like, okay, we needed it. And so we went mm-hmm. ahead and we closed and things. But the things that happened in that little bit of time, and making sure you get all the keys back.
Right. There's a lot of plates spinning. Once you put a house under contract, a realtor, if you've got a good one.
Right.
A lot of times a realtor will just spin one plate and let you worry about all the others. But if you're working with somebody who's as comprehensive as we are, once you put a house under contract, or even just as soon as you start the process, you start those plates spinning, and a realtor has a lot of plates spinning right up until the moment of closing. And the other thing is, the closing doesn't take place at the table. Everybody thinks that's when it takes right. place. That's when you sign all the paperwork. All the hard work's over when you get there. I call that the celebration of signatures. I don't call it the closing. Because all we're doing is signing everything. The closing actually takes place when the deed's recorded at the courthouse. That house, you've signed everything, then all that paperwork that you signed or pieces of that paperwork need to be sent back to the lender so that they know you've signed your promissory note and you've done all that good stuff. They fund the loan. Once the attorney has the money in hand, then he can record the loan and distribute all the money to everybody that's supposed to be getting it. And that's when you actually have a homeownership.
Well, that's another important thing. How do you get that attorney that's going to represent you? Do you bring that in with you, or does the who gets the attorney into the process?
The buyer chooses their attorney, and they're the one that needs the attorney for the most part, because they have the most going on. They have all of their lending, their title searches, and all of that. So they pick theirs. The seller also has a little bit that has to be done, and they can have their own attorney do that as well. But in, I would say 9 times out of 10, as long as you're using a reputable attorney, they'll just let the buyer's attorney do their paperwork for them as well.
What kind of criteria would you use in selecting an attorney to represent you as a buyer?
Sherry, you want to answer
Well,
that?
Again, I mean, being in the business a long time, we know who's reputable. We give the customer several choices. Mm-hmm. But it is ultimately the buyer's choice. We can recommend, but we want them to actually be the one that chooses
right.
The right attorney. We do have some lenders. I am a broker, so back to an origination fee, I do not have an origination fee. I am paid by my investors, which lowers the closing cost. The average cost on a VA loan with me, not including inspections or setting up your escrow account, but closing costs that's mandated by the lender, is only around $1,600 for a VA loan, which is
and
a lot
fantastic,
lot
by the way.
Less than most loans.
Yeah, because I mean, some loans have been $5,000, $6,000
exactly.
for some of my
so,
friends.
So again,
it
was $9,000 last week.
There, oh. you know, again, it's the trust issue. We a lot of times our clients do want us to recommend, especially the agent to recommend a closing attorney, and we have great ones in our area. And they are insured by title companies that, again, gives the customer and the lender additional comfort to know that everything's been researched and they've done a good
job. Well, and I have to ask this because this kind of hit. We refinanced our house and we found out our title insurance was defective. It was something about the company that had the title insurance at the time. They didn't do something correctly. So at the time we were refinancing, we had to go through cleaning up that mess. So how do you know the title insurance company that's being used is the right one and that they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing?
Well, again, the attorney is usually the one that selects the title insurance company because they have to insure each attorney. But in that case, then you go back to your closing attorney because North Carolina is an attorney state. Some states close with the title company. You don't have an attorney involved at all. But North Carolina, we do have the double take. We have the closing attorney that's licensed to do real estate transactions and also the title insurance that's insuring what the attorney does. So you have a two-sided protection.
Equation, right. Yeah. So any other tips? Your other hat you wear, Lee, is staging. So when someone's wanting to sell their houses, what kind of staging things can we do to make it just the house to buy on the street?
Well, you know, a staged house on average sells 83% faster than one that's not staged, and usually for up to 10% more than a house that's not staged. What is staging? Staging is influencing a buyer's thought process. It's not decorating your house. How do we do that? Well, number one, I go in and I stage houses for other realtors because a lot of times the stager I do staging consults for them. I don't actually go in and stage the house because the staging consultant a lot of times is the bad guy.
Right.
They're the ones that say, you know, the purple walls have got to go. Great Aunt Ethel's moose chandelier has got to go.
You want to depersonalize it and make them look like
Right.
A house that someone can they want
to
live in.
You have to depersonalize to a certain degree. I'm not one of those that makes you take all your pictures down of your family as long as they
as long as they're not scary.
Well, it's like, yeah, if they're not scary. And it, as long as they're displayed in good taste. Now, my grandmother's wall of fame would have to come down.
Right.
That's
you're talking about me now.
that wall of fame has got to come down. But listen, you got to pack to move anyway.
Right.
So let's just pack. I want your closets half empty or more. I want to be able to see the wall behind your clothes. I want at least one shelf empty, and I don't want anything on the floor. Go get you a shoehorn.
Nothing under your beds. The linen closet can't be overflowing.
It can't be. Because guess what? They get so consumed, the buyers do, with your personal property that they don't see the wall behind the flower arrangement or the floor underneath it. That's what we're selling. So we got to pack to move.
Well, and if things are too full, they think there's no storage.
Exactly.
Right.
Because that influences their thought process as well. Put green in a room.
You mean like plants or?
Plant, bowl of fruit, whatever it is, because people step toward it. I show houses all the time, and people will stop on the outside of a bedroom and look in. Oh, that's a pretty room.
But they won't walk in.
If they don't walk into the room, they're not going to buy it. They're just not. If you put something, if the room's nice and clean and neat, and it has something green in it, they will step through the door into the room.
That's an interesting one.
And they'll say, oh, wow, this room's a lot bigger than I thought it was. Look at that. Oh, there's a closet. Let's go in the closet. Well, if they don't go in the room, they're not going to buy it. So that's just, and again, it's just by influencing their thought process. And the pictures online are worth $1 million or $100,000 or $225,000.
Yeah, because you want somebody to think I want to go look at this house, not I'm not going to look at this house because look at that wallpaper.
Exactly. And you, I had rather have 8 fantastic pictures than 25 terrible pictures.
Right.
Because all the pictures don't sell the house. Pictures entice the buyer to want to see more. Pictures are awesome. I've got to go see the rest of this house. That's what it's for.
Is there a better time of day for your house to be shown or a better time of year for it to be shown?
You know what? A lot of people, the market traditionally in Raleigh picks up in normally about February, maybe mid to late February, early March, and we go great guns until school lets out, and then it kind of slows down a little bit. 4th of July, it's real slow. Then in August, it starts picking back up, and we go great guns again all the way till almost Thanksgiving, and then it slows down again. This year's been a little different. It's been a little quirky, I think, maybe because we had a late winter. We got a little bit of a late start, then had a lull again in spring vacation, but it's going great as far as that goes. But and it's different in every area, but I don't see any trend as far as what time during the day.
It's like rates. It's very unpredictable. I mean, right now it is definitely a seller's market. We have more buyers lined up than we have inventory.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is it is spring now, so a lot more sellers are beginning to put their house on the market. But they're getting gobbled up. If they're priced right and have done their staging, I mean, they...
So what's the sweet spot in pricing around the area right now? 250 to 400?
It's all over the board.
It's all over.
I mean, okay. I'm seeing your first-time home buyer, you know, the 175 to 200, which is usually a lot of activity. But then I'm seeing houses 700 and 800,000 also selling. So it's... Even the over a million is selling. So it's definitely rates as low as they are. We're still as low as we were in June of 2013, which is shocking to me because supply and demand normally in the spring rates start to go up. And they could, but they're still so good. So that alone with, you know, people have been, they've got confidence now. They've got the confidence and they can see, you know, we're trying to educate that you can get a loan. There for 2 years, people didn't think they could get a loan. So now it's back to, it's still not as lender friendly as it used to be, but it's getting better and it's getting more user friendly. Let's say, and I think that's building that confidence.
So let's give them the name of the website again. That's coming up this weekend.
VeteranHomeSpecialist.com.
And your all's phone numbers, Lee Roberts at.
Lee Roberts at 919-219-2965.
And Sherry Green's at?
This is my direct extension, 919-719-7773.
And that's Southeastern Mortgage Corporation.
That's correct. And we're locally owned, your neighborhood lender.
And any one last comment you ladies want to make?
The one thing that I would like to say is working with veterans and military families is the absolute honor of my career, and I can't thank them enough from the bottom of my heart for what they do. And if the only thing I can do is help them realize the honor of home ownership, then I count it a blessing.
Sounds great.
I love all my homeowners, but it is so rewarding to help veterans that have sacrificed so much, and they're so very appreciated. And this is just a way for us to give back.
So veterans, active military, their widows or widowers, spouses, give you guys a call and look into having a VA home loan so you can get a home ownership underway this year. It'd be a great goal for 2015 for everyone. I want to thank you ladies for being on the show, and everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.
WCOM-FM and Focus on Business are proud to support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina, serving the Triangle. Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina is your community Make-A-Wish. To learn more about what Make-A-Wish is doing, visit their website at www.eastnc.wish.org. That's www.eastnc.wish.org, or give them a call at 1-800-432-WISH. That's 1-800-432-9474. Focus on Business and WCOM-FM are proud to support the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. To learn more about the Ronald McDonald House of Durham, visit their website at www.ronaldhousedurham.org. That's www.ronaldhousedurham.org, or give them a call at 919-281-1065.
Focus on Business and WCOM-FM would like to thank Focus Resources for underwriting the Focus on Business radio program. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com.